We are about an hour away from kickoff of the 112th Grey Cup on TSN. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you ahead of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Montreal Alouettes. And somebody will be given the trophy by new commissioner Stuart Johnston in his first Grey Cup presentation. Today, he was at the Football Reporters of Canada Hall of Fame breakfast this morning, talked about how nervous he actually is to hand that trophy over for the first time as commissioner. And also congratulations to Judy Owen and Paul Friesen for their induction into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame media wing, joining our colleague, Daryl Davis. Daryl, two greats when it comes to media in this Canadian Football League. Judy Owen, the second female reporter to go in. And Paul Friesen, you might remember, Daryl, held Mike Kelly accountable and the non-issue, not talking, handled internally. Nobody knew how. Paul said, I have somebody to introduce me, and he wouldn't tell us. And it was Mike Kelly. On the he sent a video to introduce Paul Friesen
into
the Canadian Football Hall of Fame.
Well, like Larry Brooks died, the New York Post sports writer who used to have these great confrontations with John Tortorella, the head coach of the Rangers. And when Brooksy died last week, Tortorella was one of the guys praising him. So you know what? It's a tough business, the journalism business, especially when you're holding people accountable, as Paul Friesen did and Judy Owen's done. They're print people, which is kind of close to my heart, obviously. That's where I get all my beginnings in the media. So the fact that you stand there and take that sometimes, and you're asking for the people who read you or listen to you, so you want to be honest with them. And Mike Kelly realized that. Kelly was a bit of a character. Paul Friesen's a great writer. Judy Owen's a wonderful reporter too. So well deserved. It always I always say the people who get put in after me make me even prouder to be a member of the Hall of Fame like that, because it just shows that it's a prestigious hall, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. So good for them. Congratulations, and I've welcomed them both.
Okay. I've waited long enough. I'm not there to eat, but we're going to find out who's going to do it.
Who's going to eat with Belton Johnson?
Presented by Sherwood Co-op.
1, 2, 3, let's eat!
Before Daryl digs in to whatever Belton was making for the tailgating tip,
I'll have your share, Jamie, okay?
Okay, you're eating for two?
Sure,
I understand. I get that. Let's go to who's going to eat, who's going to have a big game with the matchups today with the Riders and the Alouettes. As Belton Johnson, take it away. Where are we starting?
Let's start with the Alouettes defense there, Jamie.
Alouettes defense. Who's going to eat for the Montreal Alouettes defense?
Going with Beverett.
Tyrese Beverett. Why is that?
He's just a baller, man. And this is a big game, right? So we'll find out later who I'm gonna pick on the Rider offense. Somebody's got to stop somebody.
Yeah, some wild big plays.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
huge playmaker.
My turn,
Daryl.
I like their safety. I think that Marc-Antoine Decoy, number 24, is a big game player. Comes up with big plays at big times. So watch out for him intercepting a pass and making a big play on defense.
I think Wesley Sutton is one of those playmakers, ball hawk guys. He's always making it look. I think he gets Trevor at least once today. I think both defenses are going to – I'm not sure how high I'm going to go with a score today. Yeah. These are the best two defenses in the Canadian Football League, 1A, 1B. So I'm going Wesley Sutton of the Alouettes. Belton, where do you move to next?
Let's go to the Rider defense there, Jamie.
All right, Belton, what do you got for the Riders defense and why?
I'm going to pick Tavon Campbell over there. And reason being is, you know, any other quarterback, whoever plays for the Alouettes at any point, like I just feel like Campbell, he could pick one and take it to the house or, you know, just, again, make a big play. He's a playmaker in that back end.
And they do pick on him a little. They try to, but he seems to win a lot of battles. He's certainly a game breaker. That's a good choice. I'm going in the middle with Jameer Thurman, the middle linebacker. He just comes up big all the time. And Belton talked earlier about Scott having about them trying to run the ball with Montreal, and I think Jameer Thurman will really be effective in shutting them down.
I am going to go with Malik Kearney. I think if someone is going to make Davis Alexander stretch that hamstring, it'll be him coming off the edge, number 11 for the Rough Riders, Malik Kearney. As where do we go to next?
Let's go with the Rider offense there, Jamie.
Who's eating?
Olette. Mm-hmm. And the reason being, he's got a nice front five there with the O-line. I think the Hog is going to pave a way for him. I see none of y'all pick the Alouettes defensive lineman, so we're going to go up Olette here, Jamie.
Daryl, what do you got?
I think Sam Emelis is the guy today. They've used him. He can be a game breaker, and I think they'll be a little cautious. Joe's trying to fit in. I was thinking of him, but then I thought, you know what? Emelis has got that rhythm with Trevor Harris, mm-hmm. and I think that he'll be the guy making big plays for the Rough Riders today.
Well, being as how Belton Johnson said A.J. Olette, I'm going to throw a curveball. The entire offensive line of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are going to eat today.
There you go.
All five. I think those guys are going to push and bully the Alouettes today.
You would have been right last week for sure.
Offensive line.
Jamie,
offensive line.
Yeah.
What?
Last week you would have been right for sure the way that offensive line played.
Yep. That's what I'm going with on who's eating for the Riders. And then if AJ goes over 100, I wonder if he takes them for lunch. But well, let's wrap up with the Alouettes offense. Belton, who do you think's going to eat?
Man, this guy, see, just, you know, when we're talking Bombers, always pick who, fellas. It's Dembski, right?
Yeah.
But for the Alouettes, I love Philpott. he's one of those sneaky guys. You get the ball to him at 3-4 yards, he could burn it, take it to the house. So I'm going Philpott.
And caught that the touchdown catch from Cody Fajardo two years ago, right?
That's right.
So, yeah. Jamie, can I take the guy, the friend of the show?
Tyler Snead?
Yeah. I like
Absolutely.
Him. All right. I thought you were going to. I don't want to take your pick right out from under you. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
that's
you're not going to swear at me and say, oh, I wanted him?
No.
Okay,
no.
I'll take Tyler Snead.
I'm more upset you get to eat all my food today. So you're going with Tyler Snead. I will say, I think the Riders' defensive line, but Scott the Third, I think, if the Owls win, it'll be number 8 that he breaks loose and cracks through that defensive line. Stevie Scott the Third. Okay, Belton, what am I missing out on the tailgating tip for Sherwood Co-op?
And I know you can't smell it here, Jamie, but Daryl, I'm sure you smell something in the air there.
Bacon.
Bacon, right? So, Jamie, what we have today is bacon-wrapped cheese crackers. So, and you weren't here today, Jamie, so we could eat all the gluten
you didn't have to worry about gluten.
The first thing with this recipe, and this is one that some of my friends back home, you know, at Ole Miss, they cook up a lot here. So the first thing we want to do is get the oven preheated to 350 degrees. And again, this recipe is simple. It's only 4 ingredients, crackers, bacon, jalapeno, and cheese. So the first thing you want to do is cut the bacon in half, and you want to lay out that half on the plate there and everything. Place a cracker on top, and then we're going to sandwich it. So we're going to put the cracker down. We're going to put a slice of cheese down and a slice of jalapeno down, and then we're going to top it with the cracker. Are you still there with me, Daryl?
Gotcha. I'm just looking at them over here. Yeah.
And then I'm looking
at the construction.
So when we got a sandwich like that, we're going to finish it by, you know, just wrapping that bacon around the cracker there. And I like to put some brown sugar on top as well there. Sprinkle a little bit of brown sugar on top. And the next thing we do, we're going to pop them in the oven there, bake it for about 25 minutes. And then we're going to let them cool down after they come out the oven. Because if you know, hot cheese, and I've done this before, so
couldn't wait for it.
Couldn't wait, Daryl. Okay. And then we're going to let them cool. And after that, Daryl, guess what?
It's eating time.
Oh, man.
Well, Jamie, want a review?
Well, you enjoy, Daryl.
Thanks, buddy.
You enjoy. There it is. Who's going to eat in your tailgating tip with Belton Johnson and Sherwood Co-op, as we have a lot more coming up directly ahead. You'll hear from the head coach of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders before kickoff of the 112th Grey Cup, head coach Corey Mace, on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the 112th Grey Cup, the Montreal Alouettes against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Of course, I know Belton doesn't want to talk about it, but it brings back some bad memories for Saskatchewan to see that they are taking on the Montreal Alouettes. And this time, Anthony Calvillo is not the quarterback. Instead, he is helping quarterback Davis Alexander prep each and every week as an assistant with Jason Moss. Two great coaching staffs, too. Like, before we hear from the head coach of the Riders, Daryl, an outstanding coaching staffs when you look at the Riders, younger, of course. Mm-hmm. The Alouettes, though, Noel Thorpe's one of the most, you know, illustrious defensive coordinators. Jason Moss has done a great job. Anthony Calvillo there, their special teams. Two great coaching staffs going head-to-head. We'll see how the X's and O's work.
Yeah, you're right. And it shows up on the field how all these teams are coached, right? The best teams are always usually the best coach teams too. But you're right. Corey Mace kind of threw this group together 2 years ago when he came in. He had to learn a few of them. He also lost one of his defensive coaches in the offseason, so he's had to adjust a little bit. But they piece it together. You know, we deal with them day by day, Jamie, and how responsible and approachable and reflective they are, and how intelligent they are. And that I speak the same for Montreal. Every time I've dealt with their coaches, just professional guys, the honest. When Belton was talking about how the coaches he respects, when he talks about how they love Corey Mace and like Ken Austin, because they're honest.
Yeah,
you have to when you're a coach, and these guys are all have earned their stripes, so to speak. But they're honest coaches, and I think that's what makes these teams so good, because they can rely on each other. They know exactly where they stand, exactly what they need to do, and that comes from the coaches.
As we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show, let's hear from the head coach of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Let's go!
He's got the answers to the questions you want to know about the green and white. Now, the coach's chair.
As we hear from head coach Corey Mace before kickoff of the 112th Grey Cup and how he's been able to keep that 1-0 mindset all season long.
I mean, was kind of the point the whole time, right? You just focus on the week at hand, on the opponent that you got in the upcoming week. And there's no different, for us this week. The goal is to win one game.
Trevor has talked a lot about playing for the S, and whether that's teammates or the province. But to you, what does the S mean, and how have you seen the guys rally behind not just the logo itself and playing for what that means?
Yeah, I think, even being a Canadian kid, a West Coast kid, when I see the S, as a young guy, that the only thing I thought about, was the Rough Riders, and I just, Saskatchewan. And to be honest with you, it hasn't really changed much. To me, I think the logo represents the province, and I honestly think the people of Saskatchewan are okay with that. I think it was really important for us to understand, and from us as a staff to talk to these players and have them understand what it means to play, for the Rough Riders, what it means to the people of the province, and to represent them when they go out there and play. So the guys, I think, have a really good understanding of that. They wear that logo with pride, and we have the province behind us.
Corey, what's it mean to you when you see a guy like Mitch Pickton, obviously with emotions, that he gets a chance to play in a Grey Cup this week?
It means a lot. Mitch works his tail off. He's a heck of a player. Anytime we've asked him to step up, I mean, he does unreal. I'd say whenever he decides he wants to hang him up, he could walk into coaching, right? He's super intelligent. He can play every receiver spot. He can play multiple spots on special teams. He understands tremendously what defenses are trying to accomplish. Mitch is supposed to be playing tomorrow.
Corey, not much change in the roster, but a bit in the receivers. How confident are you in that group to go out there on Sunday?
Yeah, incredibly confident. We've seen it all year. You know, this guy to my left, you know, we ended up getting him back halfway through the season, and we were sitting there like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, we've got a wealth of more than capable receivers. You know, ultimately with Key and Joe not being quite ready to go, you know, with this guy, with Mitch, all the other guys that are up, you know, there's other guys too that, you know, aren't going to be able to play, and those are tough, but those guys are more than capable as well. So we have so much confidence in that receiving core and that group, and you know what Quay has done with them, and Mueller. They can go catch, they'll go block anybody. Whatever's required, these guys are more than capable.
Corey, one of your players just said to me, we're not falling for the hamstring. Do you think there's rope-a-dope going on or what?
No. Look, man, I told the guys, prepare for everybody's best. You know, Davis, whomever. It's the Grey Cup, you know. I think teams are here because they've got a great culmination of camaraderie and they've got a great culmination of competitive nature. So as coaches, it's our job to put forth the best team. So whoever's out there for them, whoever's out there for us, you know, there's going to be multiple people banged up. You know what I mean? Sure, tons that you guys don't even know about. We expect everybody's best. So I would expect him to be doing what he does. You know, it's the defense's job to prevent him from doing that.
That is head coach Corey Mace here on the Green Zone pregame show. And he said, my guy to the left, that was a Joe, who was sitting next to him when he was asked about Mitch Picton as the Rough Riders. It's like the Canadian Air Force all over again, Belton and Darrell.
Well, they need to dress Canadian receivers, Jamie, because they got all Americans on the offensive line. So, yeah. But that's what they've done. That's how they've built it. Jeremy O'Day, the general manager, is in charge of the draft, and they've gone about and picked great Canadian receivers and kept building that depth, you know. So I heard it was interesting when Corey Mace was asked about Mitch Picton, it sounded like there was a little swallow there, right, that he got a little emotional about it too. It means a lot to all of these guys, and I think – that's a symbolic move. As we talked about it earlier, they have faith in him, especially late in the game. But I think there's a little bit of symbolism there. And when they talk about playing for the S, there's a guy from Regina, from Saskatchewan, who really personalizes what this is all about.
They need a backup Canadian receiver to play everywhere. And they went with Mitch Picton on that one. And, yeah, I agree. I think, Corey, you don't. If you're not on the game day roster or the dress in the Grey Cup, your name doesn't get on the cup. Yeah. So you need to be on the field. And so I think that was part of the decision is if we win, Mitch's name's got to be there. And that was the way, when it got down to who is the number five receiver for the Canadians, it was Dell Duncan Busby or Mitch Picton. I think they were like, he can play everywhere, all special teams. He can come in and Corey Mace did admit there's a little, not a lot. He's like, yeah, a little bit. Well, when it came to, was this meaningful for you to put Mitch on for the Grey Cup game? That's how talented this group is. Let's get to those Canadian receivers. I want yardage for all five on what they get in the 112th Grey Cup. A lot of bonus points up for grabs this one, too. Could make or break our season. A Joe, Belton Johnson, how many yards?
Let's go a Joe, 37. Yeah.
37. Darrell Davis, a Joe, what do you got?
43.
I think a Joe's getting 70 today.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep. I think so.
He's breaking loose, okay?
Kean Schaefer Baker. Belton, what do you got?
82.
Darrell Davis.
50.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I'll bump it down to 45. Sam Amelis. Belton Johnson.
96.
The Canadian Air Force.
96.
I said this guy's going to eat today, and I think that's who they're going after. So I got to go a little higher. Okay, 104.
104.
I think he's the guy today. I think he's the key offensive aerial weapon.
Well, I'm asking who's going to be the most outstanding Canadian. Mm-hmm. I am going to pick Sam Emelis.
No, you're not.
Because I think...
I had him
we
first.
Can pick the same guy. Okay. Right. I'm going 120 for Sam Emelis. Tommy Neild. Touchdown, Tommy. Belton?
Let me go 56 there.
They just use them when they really need them, don't they? I think they... Yeah.
You never know.
This, true, yeah. I don't think he's their breakout guy today. He'll be dependable, and he'll catch some tough ones. 36.
I will go 23. Mitch Picton. Belton? He's the kid. I'm not sure how much he's going to play.
I know, but he's reliable, right? So I'm going to go 22.
Daryl?
31.
I'm going to go... I'm going to go 20, but I bet you they're two big, like big time fourth down or
second
third
and
down,
eight. Second and down, eight. Yeah. Yeah,
right. One of those things. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we're going here on the Green Zone. I apologize for saying fourth down. I was looking ahead on my script, and I'm Stuart Johnston's coming up talking about four downs here on the Green Zone pregame show, because we're going to go around the CFL. Yes, Stuart Johnston. Are we going to four down football, as the conspiracy theorists believe? Is this the last true CFL Canadian Grey Cup, as some people perceive? You'll hear from Commissioner Johnston when we go around the CFL. And Britton Gray's player profile next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Well, we are about a half an hour away. Are you ready, boys? Ready, boys? Yeah. 30 minutes away.
Wait. Sure. This game should have been played Friday.
Well, somebody's been waiting a while. A while. He's the longest tenured Rough Rider. He is the long snapper. He is from Saskatchewan. And Jorgen Hues was the subject of Britton Gray's player profile interview.
Jorgen, just how's it feel to be at the Grey Cup?
It feels great. Yeah, finally. I mean, it's a decade worth of emotion just kind of coming out this week, and just trying to remain calm, poised, and just do our jobs, and hopefully we can celebrate a lot on Sunday.
Is there a moment where you start to think, is this ever going to happen at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you go 10 years and you're like, yeah, okay, like I knew with this group, this team, this coaching staff, I knew it was just a matter of time, and it was going to happen sooner than later. We got everything, and we got a team, players that really, really care about each other, and shows up on the field every week.
What do the Riders mean to you as a guy who grew up in the province?
Well, I don't know if we got enough time in this interview to explain all that, but it means a lot. I mean, I grew up watching these guys, dreamed about someday, maybe being able to put on the green and white, and you're up here and you see some of the names that come in, and it's crazy. I pinch myself all the time. It's a dream come true, and I just hope that we can, make the province proud this weekend.
How nice is it going to be to share this moment with your family? You've mentioned about 20 people coming out for this one.
Well, that's just it. That's everything. I came into the league 25 single, and now I got a family and a house and kids and stuff, and they mean the world to me, and to win this with them here would be it just doesn't get any better than that.
What do you think this Grey Cup means to people like you, Logan, guys from the province who've waited long years to get back here?
Yeah, I think a little bit more. Especially when you're from the province, you grow up, you watch this team, you know what it means to people in this province. You go to any town around the whole province, campsite, wherever, it's green, they're watching the game on game day. It means so much to so many. And I just really hope we can win it for those people.
Why was Saskatchewan the only place you wanted to play when you came to the CFL? With Edmonton, they traded you so you could play here.
Yeah, I wasn't going to play anywhere else. I wanted to be here, and I made that very clear. It's the people, it's the fans, it's the province, it's being being close to home has something to do with it too. But it's the Rider Nation is unmatched, and where else do you want to play? You know, in this league, this is the pinnacle, in my opinion, and this is where you want
to
be.
What would a Grey Cup championship mean to the province of Saskatchewan?
Oh, man. You know, if we can get it done, you'll see them go crazy like they did last time. It would mean everything. I mean, the place is going to go nuts. So I just hope that we can make the province proud.
And apparently Belton's going streaking if the Rough Riders win.
Hope it stays warm for you, Belton.
we might slow it down. We might.
Of course, Jorgen Hughes has been waiting for this one. There's a few who have been waiting a while who've been around. The other one's Brett Lawther. Of course, he was kind of a backup kicker with Hamilton when they got smoked by the Riders in 2013. But he's been waiting to get back to a Grey Cup, of course, with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Logan Ferland on the offensive line. They are there. But speaking of Logan Ferland, when we go around the CFL Player Awards the other night, Nathan Rourke, the most outstanding player and the most outstanding Canadian in the Canadian Football League. I don't think that was a surprise to anybody. Daryl?
No. Yeah, it was tough. To be honest, I didn't vote for him for outstanding player. I did vote for him for outstanding Canadian.
Is going around trying to find the 13 people who didn't vote for Nathan Rourke for the most. So there's one.
Give me a button. I'll wear it.
It's Daryl. Yep. It's one. But Logan Ferland, the Jake Goddard Veterans Trophy winner, the fourth straight year a Saskatchewan Rough Rider has won that. Jorgen Hughes won it before, Braden Lennius before that, and, of course, Dan Clark in 2012. That's for comradeship and really having the personality and the characteristics of what make a member of the military great, with the community work and everything else, is Logan Ferland. Congratulations to him. And Jermarcus Hardrick, the top offensive lineman in the Canadian Football League. He brought his kids up on stage. Then after he got it, he brought his whole offensive line up on stage to get pictures. Right. As that man's all about family.
He had one of his best years. Imagine after missing last season and coming back with a year like this. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. You felt pretty good for him, I'm sure, Belton. Hey.
Oh, I did. Like you said, for him to miss last year, and now he's, you know, he was the cornerstone of that O-line, right? And, you know, with Mace, everybody, you know, family. That's what you get from him and everything. And, yeah, he's well-deserving.
Mm-hmm.
Well-deserving.
That's some of the player awards from every trophy went west.
I know.
Everything was west.
Yeah.
Did you notice in your special awards were all west? Hmm.
Did you notice on your CFL picks, Jamie? All the Anglophones picked the Rough Riders to win, and all the Francophones picked the Alouettes to win.
We actually brought Frederick Daig up at the FRC breakfast this morning. We were talking in as the executive on how great we are, that there are more Francophone reporters part of the FRC, and we wanted to kind of honor that. So we had Frederick speak to what it means for them and how much passion there is in French Canada for the Canadian Football League. So he spoke to that this morning at the breakfast. So they're all picking the Alouettes too. We're all picking the Riders. So,
uh-huh. Oh, man. So there's still a rift in this country.
Is it going to be a tie?
There's still a rift in this country, I guess, Jamie, all personified in the Football Reporters of Canada.
One of the other big stories was Mike O'Shea and Kyle Walters are staying in Winnipeg. Mike O'Shea is not going anywhere. And the other one was the commissioner's state of the league. Four down football, merging with National Football League or American League. What, Stuart, what do you think?
There is one thing I want to clarify. When we announced those rule changes, I did not do enough to emphasize something very important, our unwavering commitment to the Canadian game. So let me be clear. We are three downs, 12 players, unlimited motion, 65 yards wide, and huge end zones. These rules are not going anywhere.
Do you believe them?
There we go.
Yeah. Along I've believed them. I've been a supporter of this.
It's clear.
Yeah, it is clear. And right from the start, the changes he made were the changes that he initiated because he had been listening to people complain. The people who complained that I was one of them, the goalposts at the front of the end zone. Jamie, you complained about the rouge. Other people have said, why are the benches on the same side of the field, which is an obvious one. But all the things that we complained about the game have now been fixed. Now there's people complaining, oh, why'd you do that? Now you're going to Americanize it. Well, the Americans take some things from look at the quarterbacks in the NFL now. Mm-hmm. They're the type of quarterbacks we had in the CFL for decades before they got them. Yep. So you take a little bit of whatever, but you keep your game unique, and there's no way that they're going to be the same game. All those naysayers, just laugh at them and block them on your social media feeds. It's getting ridiculous.
And as we continue here on the Green Zone, it's getting closer and closer. Coming up next, our final picks for MOP of the game, MOC of the game, a trophy presentation question, and of course, our final pick for the 112th Grey Cup. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back. One final go ahead of kickoff of the 112th Grey Cup. Not a lot of changes for either team. Joe Robustelli, Del Duncan Busby are off for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Joe starts. He will be backed up by Mitch Pickton. For the Montreal Alouettes, a couple of game time decisions with Mustafa Johnson and receiver Austin Mack, but Alexander Hollins comes on for Hakeem Harris. Pierre Olivier Lestage is back on the offensive line. Des Holmes is off. Johnson was on for James Letcher Jr. In that one. So there are just the small roster tweaks for the Riders and the Alouettes. Okay, let's get to our picks in the final 5 minutes here on the Green Zone pregame show before we flip on TSN for kickoff. Let's start with the most outstanding player of the game for the Riders and the Alouettes. What do you think? I'm picking AJ Ouellette. We can pick the same. Yeah. I'm picking Ouellette. For the Riders and for the Montreal Alouettes, I am going to pick Davis Alexander. If they win, it's because he finishes. So I'm going to go Davis Alexander for the Alouettes.
It's always a quarterback.
So you're going Harrison, Alexander?
But I'll switch over because I keep thinking that Alexander's going to get hurt. And if he does, then they got to throw to Snead. And that's who I said was going to eat anyway. So I'll pick Snead as my other one.
And Harris for the Riders. Yep. Mm-hmm. Belton?
See, I think I'm going to do like Daryl there. You know, if Davis Alexander goes out, I'm going Field Pot.
Okay.
Most outstanding. And for the Riders, absolutely, Ouellette.
Ouellette. So, I guess if he's the most outstanding player, you're taking Philpott for the most outstanding Canadian, Belton.
That's correct. Philpott. I did have him as Canadian as well, Philpott. And for the Riders, I don't have Emelis, but I got Schaefer Baker.
KSB.
DeCoy and Emelis.
DeCoy and Emelis. I'm going to go with Emelis and Philpott for the Alouettes. Now, for both teams, trophy presentation question.
Oh, boy.
Who gets it first and who gets it second?
First and second?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
For the Riders, who's getting it first has got to be Trevor Harris.
Okay. Who gets it second?
Ouellette.
Ouellette? Okay.
I think I'm going a little differently on this one. I think it goes to Ferland first.
Yeah?
And you think Ferland?
Yeah.
And who gets it second?
Then Harris.
Then Harris?
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. This is a tough one. They've got it all figured out, don't they, in their minds. That's the other. You know who gets
this
it second?
This is what I believe.
Ferland and Lothar. That's my order.
You stole my pick.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I'm going Houston Lothar. I think Jorgen gets it first, and Lothar gets it second.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Okay, because Houston's been here the longest.
Longer reigning.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for the Alouettes?
Oh, man. Okay.
Oh, for the Alouettes.
They just won it, so it's not like there's guys you need to give it to, right?
True.
I'm going Alexander and Beverett.
Alexander and Beverett.
Go ahead, Jamie. You got one?
I believe, I'm trying to find, is there anybody that they really want to give it to on this team? I am going to go with Alexander, and he will give it to Tyson Philpott.
Oh, boy.
Daryl?
I'm going with Najee Murray, the linebacker. He's been there the longest, right?
Okay. And
who's second? Jeepers. Usually an offense. Wesley Sutton.
All righty. Now, with the minute remaining before we hand things over, turn on TSN. Who wins and what's the final score? I finally figured out my score. I'm going higher than I was earlier in the week. I'm going Saskatchewan 25-23. They win by two.
Ooh.
Belton, what do you got?
I got the Riders winning 32-27.
32-27, Saskatchewan. Daryl Davis.
28-24.
Four?
Same team you guys picked.
There we go. All going green for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the Montreal Alouettes. It's the 112th Grey Cup. Of course, after the game, the Green Zone postgame show. At the final whistle, don't be scared. I hadn't fallen. Kevin Martell will be in the lead chair helping us out until the trophy presentation. And then myself and Britton Gray, we will bring you the latest with Daryl and Belton and across the province if the Riders win the 112th Grey Cup. Enjoy the game. We will talk to you in about 3 hours and a bit. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening to the Green Zone pregame show. We'll talk to you on the postgame show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.